Amen. Amen. I tell you what, that was a blessing to hear about what the men got up there at the camp. What a blessing that is. That's a blessing to me as a pastor that you can't have a church. You can't have a church without men, and you can't have a church without women that's faithful to God and wanting to serve God. And it takes both of them, amen? A lot of churches you go to now, there's a lot of women there and no men. And I thank God the women are there trying to keep the thing going. But men, God uses men. God calls men to preach. We got young men called to preach here. And God uses men to do the job as well as women. But we don't believe that, and because the Bible teaches that a woman should not be a pastor. And you got some churches around here, you got women pastors. I don't go to tell them when they're wrong. I just say, hey, we don't believe that. Because the Bible says a woman shouldn't assert authority over man. That's when in position of a pastor. And the Bible says a pastor can only be the husband of one wife. So, but you say a woman's doing the job, she's doing pretty, I'm not going to stop her. Let her go ahead. But I think that's not right. But God calls men. And God wants men. God wants young men. Talking about young men, David and Manny, I got a text this morning from Brother Tim Black. He said, tell you, he prays for you every day, and he loves y'all. And it's just to tell you that. I hope you all brought your Bible. And I hope you take this serious enough that you bring your Bibles. And David prays for you guys. But I tell you what, if God calls men to preach, God calls young men to do something for his glory. And young ladies. And we couldn't have it without. I'm going to preach this morning a few minutes. Sunday school. We're going to keep everybody right here. I'm just going to keep everybody right here. If they'll sit here, let them sit right here. I'm going to preach on the three chairs this morning. I felt like the Lord wanted me to do that this morning. I was up at Jeremiah's, and I was up there, and Sunday morning, I think they had maybe 35 people, and they're meeting in a community hall, and Jeremiah was ordained Sunday night, and it was a blessing that he answered all the questions, everything, and we had a good time. We had a good time with him, his family, and Jeremiah got up and said this. He said, I miss Faith Baptist Church. I miss it. And he said, man, I just thank God for Faith Baptist Church, and the pastor there is Brother Richards, and he's a good guy, went to Bible school, PBI, and graduated, and now they got a church and meeting in a garage at the house. And so, but they're trying to get a church going. And they got a bunch of beautiful buildings up there, but man, no God. There's no God in those buildings. But take your Bible, look with me to Joshua chapter 24. And some of y'all have heard this message before, but I feel like the Lord wants me to do it again. And it's three chairs. And it's important. This message is very important for our society. And you see Joshua showing up. And Joshua shows up as a young man, and he's with Moses. And Joshua, he's in Egypt as a slave. And Moses shows up, and then God calls Joshua. And in the movie, The Ten Commandments, they have Aaron coming out and or Joshua coming out to find Moses. But the Bible says it was Aaron. Aaron came out and found Moses. But in Joshua chapter 24, this is at the end of Joshua's life. Joshua says some things, and he says some great things. And I'm going to tell you something. I like Joshua. I can't wait to get to heaven. I want the Lord to replay a lot of things. I want to see it, and we're going to see it. We're going to see what the Lord did with the Red Sea. We're going to see Pharaoh's army go in. The greatest world power at that time was Egypt, and they were the greatest power the world ever seen, and Pharaoh. And Moses goes down and tells him, said, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, who is God that I should let the people go? And I mean, Pharaoh, he was his own God, and people worshiped him as God. But I'm going to preach this morning on three chairs. Here's two of them right here. These are two chairs, and then I'm going to get one of the blue chairs put over here. And one of the blue chairs, it represents another generation. And this, what this represents is three generations. We got three generations sitting in here. I've got three generations sitting in here. I got myself, my son, and my daughters, and my grandkids. And I don't have a fourth generation yet. I don't have that. But I got three generations. And some of y'all sitting in here, you got your children, your grandkids, and that's representing three generations. Has anybody got four generations in here? Anybody got four? You got four. Five. He got five generations. Anybody got four? Anybody else? Four generations. So he got five generations sitting here. And you know, I know Brother Squeaky, I know his heart. He wants all his kids saved. He wants all his kids loving God and serving the Lord. I know that. And Joshua, at the end of his life, but look at chapter 24 and verse 14. He says, now therefore fear the Lord. This is the end of his life. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. We're talking about spirit and truth this morning. The Lord said, you know, worshiping God in spirit and truth. If you're going to worship God, you got to have spirit, and that's having something inside you that stirs up and that you get excited about. People get excited about today. They get excited about football. They get excited about basketball. They get excited about all those things. And people say, well, I'm not an emotional person. I'm going to tell you something. If a publisher, a clearinghouse knocked on your door tomorrow and said, here's a check, I'd like to see you get emotional. You would get emotional. You would start screaming and shouting and everything else. But when you come to church, you think, oh, I'm not emotional. And you are. God give us emotions, and those emotions can be good. Now, I don't think that, you know, we all, you know, always carry your emotions on the end of your sleeve. I don't think you ought to be there. But I'll tell you what, God's given you emotions. And Joshua, man, he was a guy that was there. I mean, he's seen God's power. He's seen Moses. He's seen the Red Sea open up. I mean, he's seen, man, Jordan River open up. And when he was in charge, Joshua's seen a lot. And Joshua, he was a great man. Now, I can't wait to get to heaven to shake his hand. And man, Joshua, he saw the sun stand still. I mean, he see all that stuff. And he never lost a battle except for the Ai deal, but he wasn't involved in it. He sent the men. Joshua never lost a battle. And Joshua was a great man. But he says this. Here's a great verse. Joshua 24, verse 14. You don't have it marked in your Bible, mark it. He said, now therefore serve the Lord. He said, therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt and serve you the Lord. And what he's saying, put away those gods because they're dead. They're no good. Well, I said this morning in Sunday school, the only God, Israel was hated as Jews because they believed in one God. Now, we believe in one God, but in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, because the Bible teaches that. Jesus Christ, the only time the Trinity ever split was when God allowed his Son to come down and die for us. And that's the only time. And Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. And a lot of religions today, they don't believe Jesus Christ was God. They don't believe at all. They don't believe he was God. And I tell people this, the Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe Jesus Christ was God. If he's not God, then why did he die? And I've said this to Mormons. I said, you don't believe Jesus Christ is God. Why are you praying in Jesus' name? Amen. Because that's idolatry if Jesus Christ is not God. Yeah. So they don't think, man. But Joshua says, serve the Lord in sincerity and truth. Then he says, if it seemeth evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. You're serving somebody or something. You say, I'm my own man. I've said this in Sunday school. People say, well, I don't worship nothing. Yes, you do. You worship something. Right. People worship houses, cars, women, men, motorcycles. They worship something. Why? Because God put it in you to worship. It's in you. If you don't worship the true God, you'll worship a false idol. Yeah. Amen. You'll worship your own brain. You'll worship your own intellect. You'll worship your own power. You'll worship something because you have to worship. And he said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, he said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And he didn't say, Miss Joshua, is that all right with you?
That's right.
He didn't say, hey, kids, is that all right with you? He said, we're going to serve God whether they like it or not. Now, you can't stop your kids from going bad and wanting to get out of the house and go live the way they want to live. But I'll tell you what, you be an example in front of them. I'll tell you what, when they finally get in a mess and they finally make a mess out of their life, they'll look back and say, Amen. Mom and Dad was right. They were right. And when they finally make a mess, and they will make a mess, they won't have no peace. And these chairs represent, here, I'm going to move this chair out of here. And these chairs represent God. This over here, this represents Joshua. He sat in this chair. It's God. God, God, God was everything. And see, what happens was, and when he says God is everything, and people will look at you and say, oh, he's crazy. He puts God first about everything. And the Bible tells us, Jesus said, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. People are killing themselves trying to get ahead. You put God first, he always puts you ahead. You put God first, you're always ahead. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. In that context, in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord says, I feed the birds. I take care of the animals. I do all this. I know what you need. I'll take care of you. God tells you that. So Joshua says, serve God in sincerity and truth. Go over to Joshua chapter 24, verse 30, 31. We got teenage kids raised in Christian homes. Some of them are not. You got bus kids come. They're not raised in Christian homes. But they look at it, they think, is this thing real? Is this real? I'm going to tell you something. It's real, man. It's real. Like I said this morning in Sunday school, I heard about people getting killed on the streets of Baltimore, getting killed everywhere. And everybody's trying to be gangster. Everybody's trying to be cool. Everybody's trying to do, and you've been in my territory, man. And the idiots killing each other. Over what? Something stupid. Look what Joshua says. In verse 31, he said, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. I'm trying to speed this thing up. Serve the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, which had not known all the works of the Lord, which he had done. And so they served God as long as Joshua was around. And then the elders, as long as they lived, they served God. But what's going to happen when the old crowd's off the scene? This chair here represents God. Putting God first. Joshua said, God's first. This chair right here, it represents God and me. God and me. And when things get rough, it's just me. This chair over here is different. This chair here represents no God. And you sitting here this morning, you probably say, I don't serve God. I don't want nothing to do with him. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to do what I want. That's where you're sitting. You're sitting right there. You'll make up your mind this morning where you're sitting. If it's God first, or God and me, or I don't need God. I'm just going to live the way I want to live. And mom ain't going to tell me. That's what he did. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Somebody will tell you what to do. Your boss will tell you what to do. Police going to tell you what to do. The prison guard's going to tell you what to do. Somebody's going to tell you what to do. Take your Bible, look in Judges chapter 2. I'm trying to speed this up. Judges chapter 2, look at verse 7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who hadn't seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. They served the Lord. They served the Lord as long as Joshua was around, as long as the elders were around. And some of you kids, as you know, the doc used to say, you know, you test a man by what he loves and what he fears. And then you'll find out what you really are when you're by yourself and you can get away with what you want to get away with. You find out what you really are. When you can say, I can get away with this, I can get away with that, nobody's going to know, I'm going to do what I want, then you'll find out what you really are.
Amen.
What chair are you sitting in this morning? Is it God everything to you? Or is just God is part-time in my life? I serve the Lord when it's convenient. Like King Agrippa, he said, come back and talk to me at a more convenient time. It's only I serve God when it's convenient for me. When it's not convenient for me, I don't serve him. That's God in me. Or I'm not going to serve God. I don't want nothing to do with him. I'm going to live the way I want. Three generations. You know, America has come that far. After World War II, I mean, man, during I got a book Tom Brokaw came out with. It's called The Greatest Generation. I've read some stories about people. My father's told me stories about people going, what they went through the Depression, and then they came, some of you people probably remember that, went through the Depression, they came to World War II. People sacrificed for this country. They sacrificed for our boys overseas. Women went into factories. That's how the factories started working 24 hours a day. Women went into factories to make airplanes, tanks, all that stuff. Because why? I think I read somewhere there was, in World War II, there was 23 million or more men in the battle. More than that. I think it was probably more than that. Probably 30 million. 30 million men in the battle of the world wars. And millions of men from America went to war. And the women were left behind to take care of the house and take care of the jobs and all that stuff. And then when the men came back from World War II, they said, well, I don't want my kids to suffer like I suffer. So they started giving them everything. That's when my generation, the Vietnam generation, came in. And the Vietnam generation was like, man. And then the politicians, you know, stabbed them in the back and all that stuff. And they really want nothing to do with, you know, they started, you know, becoming just drug addicts and all that stuff. And now we got this other generation of kids. They're having children. My God, man. It's sad. It's sad to see kids raised without God in their life. No God. I remember preaching a funeral. I remember standing there at a funeral of a man that died, and his kids came up, and I said, one day you'll see your dad again. He got saved right before he died. I said, one day you'll see the Lord and see your dad, and you'll see Jesus Christ and everything. And it was 2 10-year-old boys standing there. And you know what they said? They said, that ain't cool. I don't want to see God. I don't want nothing to do with that. 10 years old, man. They said, I don't want nothing to do with that. And we got a generation of kids that they don't know nothing about God. All they know about is an Xbox and what you're going to give me. And that's why the kids are killing each other. It's not even safe for them to go to school. You got to have, I remember I went to school. They didn't have to have armed guards in the schools that have metal detectors. Guess what you got to have now? Man, we've come a long ways, baby. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. Here's this third chair right here. Here's the third chair. See, you got Joshua's generation. You got the elders. They kind of let things slide. They were compromised. They were backslid. And then this generation came along. Look at verse 10. It says, and also all the generations that were gathered on their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. They didn't know who God was. Let me ask you something. Do you know God? Do you know him? Can you talk to him? Do you have a relationship with him? Three chairs. Which one are you sitting in? Which one are you? Most Christians this day and time sitting right here, right in the middle. They're sitting in this chair. It's God and me. If something comes up for revival or something else, more like a ball field or something else that they want to do, they'll say, man, I'm not going to put the Lord first. I'm going to go down to what I want to do. They do what they want to do. And then what happens is they're raising a generation, and this generation over here, little children growing up, and they're looking at that chair right there. They're looking at that middle chair. They're saying, bunch of hypocrites. They're a bunch of hypocrites. They God ain't real to them. They just serve the Lord when it's convenient. God is not real. We teach the kids, they teach the kids, oh, their Santa Claus is real. The Easter Bunny is real. The kids grow up and they go, they lied to us about, what else are they lying to us about? Amen. What else? And the way they live, no wonder. You say, do you have Christmas? Yes, we have Christmas. We have Easter. But we don't. We tell them the truth.
Amen.
We tell them Jesus Christ resurrected.
Right. Amen.
Santa Claus didn't die for you.
Amen.
Jesus did.
Yeah.
There rose another generation that knew not God. Where are you at this morning? What happens if you're sitting here, you're right here, and you have children? Where are your children going to be? You know, every generation can sit back in this chair. Every generation from the three can come back to this chair if they want to. Now, I'm not saying everybody, if you're in this chair, you can still slide to this chair. And we have to get things right with God. That's why we have a revival. We get back over here. We get back where we ought to be. So, of course, why? We'll slide down. We'll start compromising our own life, our own personal life. What happens is we're sitting, a lot of times people sit in this chair, and you can see people sliding. And this chair over here, they're watching this, and they're seeing this stuff. This chair is sitting here saying, well, the old man's crazy. The old man, he's God, 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 God. Everything's God. I don't want to be that way. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. And it's called carnal. All the way through the Bible, you'll find this principle. All the way through the Bible, you'll find three generations. You know where America's at? Like I said, World War II, guess where we're at? We're at a generation that don't know God. And the kids, that's why we have Sunday school, vacation Bible school. That's why we're having things for the kids. There's always preaching there. There's always trying to tell the kids how to get saved, how to live for God. We're always trying to do that. Why? Because, man, We know that that's what's coming. They're teaching in school today. They teach the kids that same-sex marriage is all right. You were born that way. They said, if you feel like being a woman today or a man, or you girls want to be a man today, you can go into anybody's bathroom, transgender. If you say something against it, you're a bigot. Yeah. See, they're pushing that stuff, and trying to make the kids think that it's all right. I'm not telling you have to be rude and crude to them. You need to tell them about Jesus Christ. Tell them, hey, God didn't intend that. He didn't intend for Adam and Steve. He intended for Adam and Eve. So when you say that, people think, man, he's a bigot. And that's what they're pushing, even in churches today. You know, the homosexuals have their own church. I was preaching somewhere and somebody came up to me and said, I got a good friend that's a homosexual, and they have their own church. Their pastor's a homosexual. I thought, what in the world are they preaching? What are you preaching, man? Now, take your Bible, look in Genesis chapter 12. Here's another guy. His name is Abraham. Abraham was a man that was after God's own heart. Or David was after God's own heart. Abraham was called a friend of God. He was a friend. And whenever God's getting ready to do something, he always went to Abraham, told Abraham, like when he was getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, guess what he did? He said, I can't do this without talking to Abraham. I got to tell Abraham. So the Lord goes by and talks to Abraham and sends the two angels down to Sodom and Gomorrah. And he's sitting there, and he tells Abraham, he says, Abraham, he said, you see the stars in the sky? And Abraham said, yes, sir, I see it. He said, I'm going to make your seed just like that. Abraham said, I believe it, Lord. And he said, see the sand on the sea? He said, I'm going to make your seed just like that sand in the sea. And Abraham said, I believe it, Lord. And the Bible says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. He just believed God. Amen. You know what you're supposed to do this day and time? You just believe God. Amen. Don't believe what the school board says or the schools are teaching. Amen. You don't have to believe that stuff. You can carry a Bible in the school no matter what they say. You can still carry a Bible. You can pass out tracts and witness. They might say, well, you can't do that. We suspend you. All that. No, you don't have to start trouble. You can just go discreetly giving out tracts, witnessing people, passing out tracts, and taking your Bible. You don't have to be rude about it, crude. Look at this. And why Abraham was a friend of God, it says, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and in thee will all the families of the earth be blessed. Abraham sat right here, man. He sat in this chair. He sat right here. You know what Abraham does? He leaves the country, and guess who latches onto him? A guy named Lot. Guess where Lot was? Lot didn't like this chair at all. Lot was all about Lot. Just like a lot of people in church today. Lot was all about him. He wanted the prestige. He wanted the power. He wanted the money. And finally got down to where they were fighting. His servants, they were fighting each other. And Abraham said, we need to separate. You know what happens as Christians? We separate from our families because why? Our families want to feed our kids a bunch of junk and tell them a bunch of junk and tell them, you know, your father is just off the wall. Your father, he just believes God and is all God and everything. And they try to persuade your kids that you're insane because you believe God. But Abraham sat in that chair. And Abraham, whenever, look at next verse, verse 3, or look on down to verse 7. So God tells Abraham, said, I want you to go, and I'm going to tell you where to go. And you don't stop until I tell you to stop. Abraham says, yes, sir. And he starts out. He don't know where he's going. And he goes on and just believes God. And God says, okay, that's good enough. Right here. Stop right here. And God tells Abraham, stop right here. And you know what Abraham does? The first thing Abraham does, first thing, think about your own life. Think about this. First thing Abraham does, he builds an altar. He builds an altar and worships God. See, worship is from within. Abraham starts worshiping God. Look at verse 7. And I'm going to try to be quick. And the Lord appeared on Abram and said, on thy seed will I give this land. And there built he an altar on the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from hence and so on. So Abraham, first thing he does when he stops, he builds him an altar and says, God, thank you, Lord God. Thank you for being good to me. Thank you for watching over me, God. Because there were so many other tribes and so many other people that would kill him. And Abraham says, thank you, Lord. Lot is watching his uncle. Lot saying, man, this guy, he's got blessing, but I'm going to show him how to do it right. So the Bible says when they split up, Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. Why? Because that's where the power was. That's where the money was. That's where, he could be somebody. So you know what happened in the story where Lot goes down to Sodom? And Lot's children, when he went around and told them, said, God's going to judge this place. He's going to burn it. His kids laughed at him and said, you ain't real. You a hypocrite. You ain't real. When you talking about God, the Lord Jesus coming back. He's coming back. Oh, yeah. Come on, Lot. You got to be kidding me. While his kids sat over here, they sat in this chair. Three generations. Lot could not. He got his two daughters that was in his house and his wife. And then he ends up messing them up. Take your Bible, look in Genesis chapter 26. I'm trying to be quick. Genesis 26. Look at here. You figure out what chair you're in. Figure it out. So, well, I don't care about being in chair number one. I'll tell you what, you will one day. You will when you stand before the Lord one day and have him look you in the eyes. The Bible says he's got eyes like a flame of fire and he has a two-edged sword coming out of his mouth, which is the word of God. And he looks at you and says, did you love me? Don't you love me? Yay, Lord, you know I love you. Well, how come you didn't serve me? How come I was always on the back burner? Why? Look at Genesis 26. Abraham has a son. Abraham, in the greatest type of Jesus Christ in the Bible, the greatest type. Samson was telling me about this movie that I can't remember the name of the movie. It's a missionary movie story. And the preacher was up there preaching these heathen people. I mean, these people were cannibals. And he was preaching to them. And he said, and the guy was telling about Abraham taking his son up to sacrifice, a type of Jesus Christ. And he said the people got jumping up. He said they were shouting for 2 hours. They had trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and they wanted to learn the Bible. So he's teaching them about Abraham, a type of Jesus Christ, or a type of God, taking his son and allowing his son to die. And he said God gave a physical example of Abraham. And they were shouting for 2 hours. They said God wouldn't allow him to kill his son. And they started shouting. But God allowed his son to die for us. He said that people were shouting and running around, picking him up, throwing him in the air as he was teaching them the story, crying. Got excited. In Genesis 26, Isaac comes along. God tells him, so go sacrifice your son. Abraham believed God that he was going to raise him from the dead. That's how much Abraham believed God. Amen. Right. Genesis 26, look what happens. Isaac comes along. And Isaac comes along and there was a famine. Isaac comes along and then he God tells him to go out. I said Genesis 26. Genesis 26 and look at verse 17. And Isaac departed hence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which he had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. The Philistines still trying to stop the waters. It says, and he called their names after the names which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of spring water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name, so on. And he digged another well, and strove with them also. And he called the name, so on. And he removed from hence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he says he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from hence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared on. Now after the Lord appears unto him, the same night said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee and multiply thy seed like my servant Abraham's sake, for my servant Abraham. So he was riding off his father's blessing. And look at verse 25. But see, God appeared to Isaac, and Isaac got to know God in a real way. Look at verse 25. And he built an altar there. The first thing he does when he gets to Bethesda, He builds an altar first. Then you read on, he digs a well. And then he keeps it. So Isaac had to learn God first. So Isaac had to move from that chair, taking care of me. It's God and me. I'm riding off my daddy's blessings. I'm getting because what God's blessing me is because of my father. But Isaac said, finally, God appeared to him, and he was able to move over here in this chair as God. God first. What chair are you sitting in? Isaac has a son, and his name is called Jacob. And guess what the Bible means? Jacob was called? He was called a supplanter, con man. Guess what? Jacob ends up over here. He runs for his life. He cons his father-in-law. He gets conned. It goes back and forth. And finally, Jacob finally gets over here in this chair. And finally, he meets God, and God touches the hollow of his side, and he gets to know who God was. I don't know if Jacob ever got in this chair. I don't know if he ever got it. There's types all the way through the Bible. There's David. David was a man of God's own heart. David put God first. David was God. David, even in sin, when David messed up and messed with Bathsheba, and he had Uriah the Hittite killed, David judged himself when Nathan the prophet came in and said, "You're the man." David judged him. David sat in this chair. It was God. But what happened was when he started messing with Bathsheba, he moved over here because he was taking care of him. Yeah. And Nathan comes in and says, "You're the man. You better get right with God. God's not going to kill you, but he's going to take four of your kids." And David ends up getting back right with God. But four of his children died because of it. That type is all the way through the Bible. And Solomon comes along, and Solomon starts out good as God and me. And Solomon ends up having many wives. And Solomon ends up turning his back on God. His son Rehoboam comes along, and Rehoboam doesn't know God. He splits the kingdom and causes havoc. You think about your children. Think about your grandkids. I want my children to sit here. But they're not going to sit here unless I'm sitting here. They're not going to be here, and my grandkids ain't going to be here unless they see it's real. In my children's lives and my life. Squiggy's got 5 generations. I know Squiggy, I know he wants all his kids there. Not here. God and me. And when things get hard, it's just me. I take over God. You know, they had a thing years ago that said, "God is my co-pilot." No, man. He better not be no co-pilot. He better be your pilot. He better be in control. If God ain't in control, you're going to be out of control. Yeah. A lot of Christians say, "I want to be in that chair." I preached this message at a camp in Arkansas. And Brother Jimmy Chandler and a couple of the guys, we came in there. And kids were lined up after the service. They were lined up going to that chair and getting down, praying. Where the parents should have been the ones. But the parents weren't there. The kids were there. Kids were lined up, and Jimmy, you know what he said? He said, "I'm going to leave that chair sit there." And every service we came in, there was somebody at that chair. You know what they were doing? They're praying, "God, I want to sit in this chair. I want you to be everything. I want you to be real to me." If God ain't real to you, you'll never sit in that chair. If God doesn't answer your prayer, you don't spend time with the Lord, he's never going to be real. It's just you're going to go along, and you're going to look over at us or anybody that's trying to sit in that chair, and you're going to say, "They're crazy. They're crazy. It's all about God. What's all about God?" And before long, you'll slide over to here. We had boys in the boys' home. They went home, and they made a mess out of their lives, some of them. They still called, and they said, "You know what, preacher, y'all were right. Now they got kids. Y'all were right." They said, "But we don't know how to do it. You got to get in church. Got to get around church where you can learn the Word of God. Get in the Bible on your own. If God ain't real to you, man, you're sunk. This first chair represents commitment. This chair represents compromise. This represents no God. You look at your family. You look at what's going on in your family. You say, God, help us. God, help America. Real quickly, take your Bible, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're about ready to get done. I'm cutting this thing short. We had schools in America that was founded by Christians. And, you know, there are schools of prestige, schools that you mentioned. You know, people like to say this, my son, my daughter went to Harvard. I've heard people say that. I've heard people say, well, my son, my daughter went to Princeton. My son, my daughter went to Yale. Those schools were started in the 1700s to teach young men to preach the Bible. We've come a long ways, haven't we? America, it bothered me when Obama got up and said, he said, America is not a Christian nation. I got mad. But then I thought about it. I said, you know what? He's right. America's not a Christian nation anymore. That's why they're trying to get rid of the Constitution. They're trying to get rid of our the Bibles out of the school. They don't want no Ten Commandments around to remind them about sin. Get them out of here. Get them Christians out of here. Get them Bibles out of here. Get them out of the school. So they kick God out of the school. Guess what? They have to have security guards. You got to have guns. You kick God out? You know what church has done? Churches, we're living in the Laodicean period where the church has said, oh, man, we don't, God's on the outside. We got riches. We got buildings. We got this. We got that. We got money. Well, what do we need God for? That's the way rich folks look at it. We got money. We got everything. Look at Brad and Annalena Jolie, whatever her name is. Brad Pitt. Brad the Pitts. Brad the Pitts. Annalena Jolie. You look, they're fighting like cats and dogs now. They could kill each other. Everybody said, that's true love. True love. Remember the movie they made together where they're shooting each other? They were a secret agent, whatever it was. That's the way it is now, the running gun battle. Take your Bible, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This principle is in the Bible. Look what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Where are you at this morning? What chair are you sitting in? What chair do you want to sit in? He said, and I'm going to tell you something. If you're trying to raise children, you better raise them in the Word of God rather than raise them on a TV set. You better raise them, teaching them the Word of God. If you don't, you better also correct your children. Yeah. It's up to you the way you correct them, but they need to be corrected. You don't laugh at when they use filthy language, or you don't laugh at that stuff. You smack their hind ends. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 14. This is the third chair. It says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. That's a lost man. A natural man is a lost man. That's this chair. There rose a generation that knew not God. I could say this without no doubt. I know there's kids in here right now. And people sitting right here don't know God. You don't know God. Guess where you're sitting at? You're right here. We got a lot of Christians sitting right here. They're just like God and me, and you know, when things, I do what I want to do, and God, take a hike for a while, God. But there's other Christians sitting in here. They mean business.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
They're not trying to look down their nose at anybody.
Yeah. Right.
And if you're sitting in this chair, you don't look down your nose and say, oh, judging people all the time. Just, you just try to be a blessing, try to help people. I try to help people. I want to see people. Why? Because I know, brother, I know. The way of the transgressor is hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. It's going to be hard. And to live a Christian life, you know, it's not hard if you want it.
Right.
I don't find it hard to be a Christian. To me, it's not hard. It's natural. Now, it's natural just to live your Christian life. If you want it. Nobody has to come check on me, spy on me to see if I'm doing right. I've had people try it. And I don't come by people's houses and I don't try to peek in the window to see what you're doing. I don't want to know. Natural man is that third chair. Look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual. A spiritual man is trying to walk with God. He's sitting here. He says, I could not speak unto you as spiritual. But look what he says. As what? Carnal. Look what he says. Carnal. You know what that carny come from? We get that word carny from the carnival. It's all about the flesh. Make me feel good. Make me look good. Make me act good. It's all about the flesh. He says, I could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as on the carnal, even as on the babes in Christ. So whenever I see somebody, they say, well, I love the Lord, I'm going to serve the Lord. And then they just blow up like over anything. And they blow up. Blah, 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 blah. My sister got mad at me this week. And I told her flat out, because I got a call when I was away she blew up at one of the neighbors. And I was stupid. So I get a call while I'm away, and my sister comes over, and she's telling me about it. I'm working on something. I said, do me a favor. And she said, what's that? And made her so mad. She cussed me. I said, when you go out and you do your thing, my sister don't even come to church here. She tells everybody, you need to go to Faith Baptist Church. That's my brother. I said, that's a hypocritical. You don't even come. I said, when you go out and you talk to people, don't mention my name. Don't tell them you're my sister, please. Because I don't want them to know you're my sister. She got so mad, she went over to my daughter's house, and she was cussing me out. And my daughter finally had to say, Aunt Linda, you got to go. Amen. And then she come back and apologize. Now, I love my sister. I care about her. But you know what? Sometimes she thinks she's spiritual. And she's just a baby, carnal. She tells my wife or my daughter, she says, oh, they're having a Bible study down at the Modern Maturity Center. And my daughter says, well, we have a Bible study on Wednesday night. We study the Bible on Sunday morning.
Amen.
I love my sister. I want to see my sister do right.
Amen. Yeah.
But my sister sits here. It's all about as me and God. Me first. Me. And when things don't go right, I just blow up. What chair are you sitting in? Is it all about you? Guess what? You're going to raise a generation after you that's going to want nothing to do with God because the way they watched you. I felt like the Lord wanted me to preach this morning. Because, man, it's getting where we got more Christians. It's just all about them. It's not about the souls. I told my sister, I said, these are neighbors I want to see get saved. I want them to have a good testimony that they can't use something against us. That's what bothers me. I've been in the neighbor's house. I knocked on this one lady's door one time up here in Smyrna. She got saved here. I married her and her husband, and Eddie was knocking on the door. And finally, I went back to write a note, and I wrote a note to say, you know, we stopped by, but you weren't home. She opened the door, and she cussed Eddie a blue streak. Eddie was standing there like this, and she cussed him up and down. And I looked around. I was like, oh, my Lord. And I'm standing at my truck writing a note. I look back at her, and she goes, and Eddie goes, me and the preacher, and she looks up and she goes, oh, hey, preacher, I didn't know it was y'all. Like nothing ever happened. She looked like a wild, crazy woman, man. She must have been sleeping with the dogs. That's why her mouth came out like that. But she must have been sleeping because she had hair all over her. Guess what? She's not serving God now. Her kids are way out there. That's what happens. I've seen it over, and this church has seen it over and over. And you see people, they'll say, ain't no way I can sit in that chair. Oh, this is a way. You don't have to pretend. Don't be a pretender. Be real, man. Try to be spiritual. I know we all got our faults. We all got our, man, we all got some carnality in us all. There's nobody we can say, okay, here's an example. Come up here and stand right here in front of me. Here's the example of being spiritual. There is no example like that we can do that. Everybody's trying. Jesus Christ is our example. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was placed upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. He opened not his mouth. What chair are you in this morning? Are you spiritual? Are you carnal? Are you natural? Father, thank you again today, Father, for your mercy and grace. Lord, I pray, God, you'd help us this morning to love you. Help us to want to put you first. And I pray, God, help us to realize, God, that we're showing generations behind us how to live, what to do, how to act.